Turn your Bibles, will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we've considered here in this subject of headship, the headship of Christ, and looked at relationships and how the Lord instructs us in relationships. And most recently, we've taken a look at being a wife for the ladies, to be a wife, and also the virtue, the power the Lord's given women in their femininity. And how, even though they are the weaker vessel, there's kind of, I don't know if it's the right reference or not, but it's kind of an offset to the dominance of men. And of course, there's an order in the genders and all that the Lord's ordained, everything in its right place. But then we can take what the Lord's given us and we can abuse it. Having a power and ability, mankind has shown, and men have shown that they've taken that ability, intelligence, power and ability to dominate and used it in the wrong way. And that's the wrong use of it. And women can take the great power that they have in their femininity. And we saw there, namely, an example of it is there with Herodias and her daughter there before Herod. Without even a fight, the man was willing to give up half of his kingdom because of the seduction of that woman. And so what the Lord blesses us with, and the economy of the Lord is there. We took a look at that. What the Lord's blessed us with, we need to use it right. We need to do well with it. We need to obey the Lord in it. Okay? And so, what I want to do here this afternoon is consider this chapter, or at least the front end of this chapter, and what this headship of Christ, there's a token here that's given in the Scripture as to where the women of our church, commanded of the Lord to be silent in the leadership of the church, I believe that's the context, can have yet a great way of speaking by not uttering a word. Okay, and I believe that's what this is talking about. Now, I want to say this before we get started on this subject. It's not a Baptist distinctive. Okay? The subject of a head covering for a woman in the services, it's not a Baptist distinctive. If somebody doesn't, they're not convicted of the Lord, they don't believe in it, it doesn't mean they're not a Baptist. Okay? It doesn't. It's not a salvation is a Baptist distinctive. All right? The correctness about baptism, that's a Baptist distinctive. There is a practice in the head covering that's there, and I believe it's there, and it's a token. Baptism, does baptism save us? No, but it is that by which we enter into the church, and it is a token of what's happened. It's a sign. It's a symbol of what the Lord's done in us that we speak to the world and without saying a word, being subject to baptism. I believe this is the same way. Now, there are those that take and want to make this a Baptist distinctive. Here not too long ago, I was talking to one of the members of the church, and they made reference to some that they knew of that would say a brother that would come to preach said, well, you know, he's this and this, and he believes in head covering, you know, so all that's good. Well, I believe in it too. Now, hard for me to practice it. I'm a man, okay? Now, my wife believes in it too. She practices it. And she does so not at my instruction, but by conviction. Okay, and I believe that's what it is. I mean, that's what all of what we do should be by conviction. There are some very serious things that can transpire in the church, and maybe by the membership of the church that they would say they wouldn't be convicted. But like, if you're not convicted about adultery, we're still, as a church, Lord being our helper, deal with it if some of the membership becomes involved with it, right? So, you know, so there's that enters into this that matters of the conscience that Brother Stephen had taught about here some time ago. This is in the Scripture. I believe it's very plain. But it's not, it doesn't determine whether you're a Baptist or not, okay? And so I just want to make that clear. That's the standpoint from which I come with it. I want to do something here, and I'm not one to use illustrations, but if I did this, and then I go up here and I'm going to read out of the Word of God, be here in the house, does that bother you? Why does that bother you? Wearing your hat in the house, okay? It's just not right to wear a hat in the house, isn't it? Is it? What about coming up here and reading the Word of God? Does it bother you? You know, if we're honest about things, see, it's there, isn't it? It's troubling, isn't it? Okay? But if I take it off, you're relieved. Why is that gives you such relief? But then it really gives you angst if I put that on. And then I come up here and I begin to read the Word of God. I don't want to be disrespectful by any means, but that's troubling, isn't it? It's troubling. Why is it so troubling? What's our custom? Well, sometimes with some of the customs that we have, even as peoples, they come a certain way to us, don't they? In regards to not being a Baptist distinctive. I believe it is a teaching. I think it is a teaching that we should have. It's a piece of the pie. It's not all the pie. Some people treat it as all the pie. Okay? Our whole service to the Lord. I mean, I view it that way. I speak about it here in recent years that not one thing is all of the pie. Okay? I know there are some hard, fast things that have got to be for us to be Baptist or not. Okay? I'm not taking it away. But don't go to seed on one thing. It will do damage to you. We'll do damage to ourselves. We'll do damage to others. Okay? But we get things from our culture that bother us, and maybe they're just not from our culture. Okay? And so let's take a look at this and see what the Lord has for us, and just pray and pray that the Lord will bless and help in it. Okay? The apostle writes here, "Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ." Verse number 2, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things," okay, "and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. I find that interesting. I'm not looking to make an ordinance out of the head covering. But it's interesting that he mentions the ordinances here. In the tail end of the chapter, he's going to deal with the Lord's Supper, right? But then he's mentioning this thing about the headship of Christ here beforehand and such that goes with it, okay? And I just find that interesting. I think we have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I don't believe that foot washing is an ordinance. I don't think that that's what the Lord is showing there. But I think we need to be certainly willing to wash one another's feet. Need to be willing. I need to be willing to wash your feet. That's how much I'm to be here and serve. And then to serve one another. Was it you, Brother Doug? You said you didn't like feet. Well, we're particular about our feet, aren't we? We don't like anybody touching our feet. I mean, really, we don't like that. And I agree with him. Anyway, let's move on. "But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now that word head, although that usage of the word head in this entire chapter is talking about this. It's not quite empty. It's not made of wood. It's talking about this. Okay, this thing that's on top of your neck. Okay? But the thing is as it is with the Word of God, there's other meaning. Okay? There's other meaning. Because Christ is not this, is he? I'm a man. Christ is my head. But this part from here up is not Christ, is it? Okay, so we need to understand that. And so there's going to be, it's necessary, I believe, to understanding the passage, we understand this distinction, or to understand about it. So he tells us this. The head of man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. Verse number 4, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head." Now, at hand here, and I think the way I view this passage and what I'm going to convey to you with the Lord's help and blessings is I've got two coverings, two possible coverings. Right here is this one. Let's talk about later on in the account in the Scripture. And then I've got this one. Ladies have two coverings too. Okay? There's two coverings that are mentioned here. I think the misunderstanding of the Scripture is because of the confusion of that. Okay? That's if I cover my head, Okay, that's got to be this head. And I pray and I prophesy, I dishonor my head, and I dishonor Christ. He is my head. Okay? And let's go on and read what it says. Let's go to verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Remember how the Scripture says that the Lord has made us in His image and His likeness. Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was made of the dust of the ground, and the Lord formed the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we have the glory of God in us, in that we look like God in the bodily shape. When God is manifested, he's like a person. He's not a blob. He's not a lizard, an alligator, a bear, or a chicken. But he's like this form, okay? Legs, arms, head, and all that, okay? And so he made us that way. No other creature's made that way but mankind, okay? And so I believe that here what it says in verse 7, or what we read in verse number 4, if we cover our head, we dishonor our head, we dishonor our own head, and we dishonor the Lord, because we have this glory in us, for as much as he's the image and glory of God, verse 7, but the woman is the glory of the man. Okay, and so we're going to see how all that fits together. Verse number 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth, and that's the qualifier, praying and prophesying, what's the context of the passage? It's speaking to the church at Corinth. Okay? Speaking to the church at Corinth. We're going to, if we keep on going in this book, in chapter number 14, the subject is about preaching the word and about tongues in church context. Well, this passage is in church context. I mean, that's how I understand it and see it to be. In the previous chapter, in chapter number 10, there is personal instruction there. You know, don't be an idolater. Okay, that's a personal thing. Don't be a fornicator. If the message is coming to the church. And then in verse number 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Do you do that at home? No, we don't partake of the Lord's Supper at home, do we? We're going to meet on the 21st in our services, and Lord willing, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper, aren't we? We do that as a church. So that's the context, is in the church, and I believe, you know, I don't make a habit of praying or prophesying wearing a hat anywhere, but certainly in the church, we believe and understand that the context to be here in the church. So verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head, himself and the Lord. But every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For, there's a colon there, and so there's going to be clarification. Because, or for, that is even all one as if she were shaven. So that word shaven is talking about cutting that hair right close on the scalp. I mean, cutting it off. If there's not a covering for the woman, it's the same as her being shaven. If we take this and we apply it to the length of hair, then I think we've got a situation where we say, well, the hair gets so short, then you might as well go ahead and shave your head. I don't believe that's okay. I think a woman should have hair that's becoming of a woman. We're going to see about that here as we go. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. So if she doesn't have a covering on her head, and what the covering is, you know, there's brethren have different things they say. They'll say, well, all the hair needs to be covered. Well, it doesn't talk about the hair. It talks about the head being covered. Okay, so note that. It's got to be a veil. It's got to be a veil for it to be right, or a doily, or a certain kind of hat, or whatever. I think it's a token. I think if there's something that's there, myself, I think it's right. So whether it's a veil, I have no quarrel over that. If it's a doily, I have no quarrel over that. If it's a hat, I think that's appropriate. That's what I prefer. Okay, and I've told Clarissa that. I said, I prefer that you wear a hat. I like that. I mean, I think she's cute and good looking, and I like hats on her. Okay, but see, by wearing such, it's evidenced. See, it's seen. Okay, and that's how the Lord has provided in this that the woman can speak yet being silent. Okay, she can speak. She speaks about this thing of headship, that she enjoys the place in this headship decree and directive of the Lord, that she says, I like it here. I like being subject to my husband. I like being subject to my husband and the Lord. I like and enjoy the place the Lord's made for me, because this is the Lord's help and blessing upon me in my life. And the Lord's been good to me in this and blessing me in this. Now, we've all known ladies, and I'm not one to be hard on them because I feel sorry for them, but we'll do this thing in obedience, but just be boiling inside because of having to do it. That's what they say. They have to do it. Maybe they've been made to do it. I don't think any woman should be made to wear a head covering. Don't wear a head covering because of your pastor, okay? Because after I die, then you'll lose your conviction. Okay? Wear it because you're convicted of the Lord and you understand the reason for it. I'm not telling you to sin or disobey the Lord, but you need to get down and get serious. Brother Stephen's teaching on matters of the conscience was about not a buy or a pass about obeying the Lord, but about getting down to the nitty-gritty of what do you believe from God about things. Okay? So I'm afraid that there's some that took that as just being license. He wasn't talking about license. It's not about license. It's about you need to know what you believe from God. Amen. I'm here to teach you. The teachers of the church are to teach us and to help us, and we need to seek the Lord's face in it. And so we don't need to be we need to be right about it. We need to follow the Lord in it, and a spirit of love and a spirit of rightness, and not hardness, and enjoy the Lord's good blessing. If any of us, if we feel one another falls short in anything, what should we do for one another? Pray one for another at least, right? And then, as the Lord would direct us and give us opportunity or leadership to do so, maybe we can come up beside that one and say, hey, I'm concerned about this for you, or I'm praying for you about this, and I love you, and want good things for you. Not pound and pound and pound and beat. That's no good. That's not of the Lord. And so and we can take that attitude and apply it to everything. But in verse number 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is the same, that for that is even all one as if she were shaven. So no head covering in this acknowledgement of headship in the Lord's services. In this prophesying and praying, say, well, Jim, you know, the women are to be silent. When we pray, we call on a brother to lead in public prayer, are you praying along with them? Man or woman, you are to be praying along with them. They are leading us in prayer, not doing all the praying for us. And we follow that directive of the brother that's praying, because we say, yes, Lord, that's right. I forgot about that. Or something's mentioned that they say in their prayer and said, well, maybe you know more about the situation than the rest of us do. So then you can petition the Lord on that behalf. See? They lead in prayer. I mean, the words mean something. And it's so easy for us just to get in a rut. Brother Wayne, he talked about a rut. You know what a rut is? This was his reference to a rut. It's a grave with the end knocked out. Let us not get in a rut, okay? Let us not get in a rut. Yeah, there's maybe consistency with things, but let us not lose the joy of serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and praising and acknowledging and honoring Him for what He's done for us, what He's given us, okay? One brother would say, be excited about it. Well, I don't know if excited is the right thing. I understand what that means, but maybe be enthused, be encouraged, be lifted up, all right? Be built up in it. So, if this woman does so with her head uncovered, she dishonors her head. That word head is talking about this. And who? Who's her head? Well, refer back to verse number 3. The woman, the head of the woman, is the man. So she dishonors her husband also, because it's not, the token is not there to tell what she believes about that. Now, does that mean that she's just a floozy and a wicked woman and whorish and all that. Some brethren have preached that. I've heard that. That's terrible. That's terrible to have that attitude. That's not the case. There are ladies across this land who are faithful members in the Lord's churches, and they're not convicted about this, and they serve the Lord well. Okay. Do they miss out on this blessing? Yes, they do. But are they just like the scourge of the earth before God? No. You know, and this is not justification, but what do you and I fail in? Maybe the brother that would preach and take that attitude, maybe he fails in long suffering or charity. Okay? You know, we need to believe what we believe, and what we do is what we believe. But we need to do it all manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? That's what we need to do. And so he says here, if she does so, praying and prophesying, and the extent to which a woman does that in the services is praying along with the leadership, maybe, and prophesying, you know, the extent to which we prophesy is looking into the Word of God. Maybe as a brother would bring forth a message, or as a teacher, one of our brother's teaching would bring forth something, it would cause you to remember other scriptures that apply to the subject at hand, and you would rejoice in the Lord in that. Maybe it's an answer for a question for you. Okay? Of course, our ladies have the work in the church. They do teaching the young children and other women. So it says here, if her head's not covered, then it's the same as if she was shaved off to the scalp. Verse number 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. So I don't want to cut all my hair off. I know you see women nowadays. Like if you go down to Nashville, you see it. You'll see it. Man, some gals, not by choice. Others, Sister Patty, she lost her hair. And we knew why she lost her hair. And she wasn't displeasing before the Lord in that. But I felt for her. You know, I told her as much. I don't want to embarrass her. I don't think I am. But I felt for her because that's just part of being a woman. Is having the hair, having that long hair, having that womanly kind of hair. And so now it's growing back and coming back. And she's glad it's coming back curly and wavy. So that's a bonus for her. But there's some women that will just take it and just cut it right off. Here not too long ago, in the last handful of months, I saw a lady, and I trust it wasn't the situation before that she had cancer. We've got to be careful because a lot of folks have cancer. But just some that just choose to just cut it right off. And it's shameful. It's shameful to be. Well, going without this covering in these times of praying and prophesying, it's the same as being shorn or shaven. But if that's a shame for a woman to have that, then let her be covered. Verse number 7. For a man indeed ought to not cover his head. Okay. Now for the man, it's not talked a bit about hair. And the shaving or the shorning, it's talked relative to the woman. But all that's talked about the man is just this covering. I think this is what it's talking about. Okay? For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. That's the order of how we were created, how we were made. The Lord made Adam of the dust of the ground. Lord made Eve from the rib of Adam. Okay? He's going to talk some about that. For the man, verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. In the beginning, that was the case. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. What's that talking about? A help meet for Adam, right? A help suitable. The feminine gender in the physical makeup and mental makeup and just in the whole thing that the Lord has done in that gender makes and supplements and goes with and complements, that's the right word, the man. The man, the woman, the man. It's God's design. It's His great, wonderful design. And that's the reason, you know, sodomy and all that mess, it's just wickedness. It's wickedness. Men don't fit men. Women don't fit women. Men fit women, women fit men in the bonds of marriage, and that's what we're talking about. And in every way, God's done that. Well, if a woman doesn't cover her head in this context of praying and prophesying, and I believe in the church, then it says here in verse number 7, see, the image of glory, but the woman is the glory of the man. She dishonors. It's a shame. Okay, so let's read this from verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Okay, so you don't want to have it cut down to the scalp? Then go ahead and wear a covering. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. So she is the glory of her husband. Okay, I think that's the context. And if she does not do so, then it's a shame. It's not everything is not fit. It's not correct. It's not right as it should be. Does that mean she doesn't love her husband? No. Does it mean she's not faithful in other things? No. But it just means in this token, not being faithful. You know, what's the order of God? The order of God is that sinners are to repent, believe, and trust in Jesus Christ. The Lord visit them and save their souls. And what's the design of the Scripture? The sinners saved are to be baptized and join the Lord's church. That's the design. That's a commandment of God. That's what God has ordained. Now, do people do other different things? Yes. Can people do different things than this? Yes. Do people live together rather than get married? Yes. Does it make it right? No. Is it according to the order and plan of God? No. Would there be women in the Lord's churches that wouldn't understand this about the head covering and not submit to it? And miss out on this? Yes. But is that the end of all their spiritual life? No. It's one piece of the pie. Okay? It's one piece of the pie. There are other pieces of the pie. All of them are important. And so it tells us here about this order. And so there is this element of this dishonoring or this shame. Verse number 5, every woman that prayeth, prophesy with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, herself, her husband, and in that her Lord, as we've seen with these relationships. Okay, let's go down here to verse number 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Because you know why? Because angels cannot discern gender. Have you heard that before? I've heard that before. Can angels discern gender? I think they can discern gender. I mean, think about it. Was it Gabriel? Gabriel went to Mary. He knew who Mary was, knew she was a woman, right? I think it was Gabriel or Michael, one or the other. And he went there and told her that she was going to conceive of the Lord and bear the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He knows. The angels know. They can discern gender. What this is for the sake of the angels is this power, this submission to their husbands is because the angels are very, very concerned about, they're very jealous over the Lord. Very jealous over the Lord. Because who's number one? God is. And they want everybody of mankind to fit right into their place. Because see, it's almost as if, and if you disagree, that's fine. But it's almost as if the angels are ready to do the bidding of God. They are the ministering spirits of the Lord, and this outward token is a right order manifested amongst mankind of people in the Lord's churches, and they are troubled when mankind gets out of their order. Okay. I think that's what that's talking about. For this cause ought the women to have power, see that subjection to their husbands, subjection to men, their husbands, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Because they're not they don't have a hard time figuring out gender. They are very interested in the right following of order given by God. Because what did it say in verse number 3? The head of man is Christ, and the head of the man is the woman, and the head of Christ is God. And that's what they expect. That's what they're looking for. Now, there's this insert here. I call it this in verses number 11 and verse number 12. I think that lead to the confusion that folks have about discerning whether this is a separate covering or the hair. Verse number 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things are of God. So remember, it's the Lord that created us, and we had to have our mothers for us to be born in this life. Right, men? It had to be. So we came from our mothers. And so it's an acknowledgement that it is that in the beginning, God created man, and then from man created the woman, and then they together have populated the earth, and all of us have come from them. All of us needed a mother. The baby that's on the way that Stephen and Natalie have, it needed to be that Natalie be there. Otherwise, that child wouldn't come into our presence, would it? It wouldn't be. It had to be. So there is that. That's inserted here that says that the genders are dependent on one another for us to get here, but there is this order that it's dealing with. And then we come to verse number 13. Judging yourself, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? What I'd like to do is let's read from verse number 9. We'll skip over verses 11 and 12, and they're real. I don't want to discount them at all. It clarifies and addresses what a person might say. So, well, you as a man were born of your mother. You needed your mother. Okay, so it deals with that. Let's read in verse number 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Helpmeet or a help suitable, right? For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. That's that acknowledgement even before the angels, not only in the presence of the church, but before the angels, about the order that God has ordained. And you refer to verse number 3. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Verse 13. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? And the answer is no. It's not. Now, I've been asked the question, so, well, Brother Jim, what about outside the church? What about at home? What about when I'm at home? You know, frankly, I had never thought about it before, okay? And what I told at that point, I said, well, all I can tell you right now is, because I've never considered about it, never thought about it, you go to the Lord about that and deal with the Lord about that straightway, and I'll do the same, and then I'll get back with you on it, okay? Because it's there. Now, the context is to the church at Corinth, but women do pray apart from being in the church services or praying under the leadership of the men or praying in the classrooms with the little children or maybe classes that we would have women to women. I don't want to bring up an issue, but it is there. It is something to consider, okay? You know, we have something that we pursue and we think that is right and good and believe that it is right and good in the church, but is there something that we've not considered and left off otherwise? Okay, could be. And we need to be honest with the Lord in the Scriptures. But we judge in ourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? It's not. It's not. In our country, how was it 50 years ago, 60 years ago? I remember my grandmother getting up, and for the time that we lived with her, she'd get up, and I even remember pictures. She would get up and put a hat on to go to work. It's been that way it was that way in our country for decades, even centuries. Why? Well, there is an effect of culture, but I think that this has come from what was to be amongst mankind. Now, we've got away from that in our culture and society, but it doesn't make it right. And so, well, Brother Jim, they the reason they wore hats, you know, the women wore coverings and hats in England was because it was, you know, because that's where we came from, namely. And in Europe, it's because it was cold. Well, they did so when it was hot, too. You know? Okay, so when I said earlier, I said, why does this bother you? Well, maybe it's because of our culture it bothers you, or maybe it's because of something else. Maybe because what the Scripture says, and I believe that it is, because men are made in the image and likeness of God, when we pray and petition the Lord and read His Word, we shouldn't have our heads covered. Now, the Jews, they wear those little yarmulkes, don't they? And I don't know about the history of that. I should study about that to find out where that came from. It may have something to do with what the priests were commanded and the caps that they wore and the sacrifice and the order of the temple and such as that. May have to do with that. I don't know. But they've got their head covered, don't they? And I think it's dishonoring to them. So then we come down here to verse number 14. Here, other than a reference to the ladies about having their hair cut off at the scalp, shaven or shorn, there's been no reference to hair other than that, and that reference has been as if they wouldn't cover their head in the services when praying and prophesying, that should be cut off. There's been no reference at all to the hair of men, because are we all brethren? Are we supposed to shave our heads? I don't get that from the Scripture, do you?
Right.
I don't get that from the Scripture. That because I've got hair, I've been blessed to have hair. I didn't follow after my dad. I was sweating it in my 30s. Because he said at the beginning of his 30s, late 20s and 30s, it just came out and just like that. He lost his hair just real quick. And so when I made it through my 30s, I was glad. But I've been blessed with hair. Am I dishonoring to the Lord by having this hair? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now there is another way that with our hair we can dishonor, and that's what's brought up here in verse number 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? So the first covering has been dealt with, and now we're dealing with the second covering directly, the hair. And yeah, it is a shame. It is a shame for a man to have long hair. How long's long? Well, I think how long's long is whether you can tell if you're a man or a woman. I think that's the distinction. Okay, let's take a look at a scripture over here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. Take a look at this. This is right out of the Word of God. These beasts that are going to come out of the bottomless pit and torment the inhabitants of the earth for 5 months. It's an interesting thing that it says here in verse number 8. Let's read verse number 7. Revelation 9, verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So what's a hair like the hair of a woman? I've had real coarse hair, but I know that there's women that have coarse hair. I know some men have fine hair, and there's women that have fine hair. You know, so it's not about the coarseness of it or anything. I think what it's talking about is it was hair long enough to where it looked like a woman's hair. Hair like unto a woman. Now, myself, I think it's good if a woman can. Some women can't grow their hair long. That happens. And does the Lord know about that? He knows about that. But I like Clarissa when she gets a trim. If it gets too short, Jim gets dim. Okay, that's a saying that goes on in our house. Sister Micah has trimmed Clarissa's hair. I said, she will tell us that if you trim it too much, Jim will get dim. Because I like her hair to be shoulder length. I like that. Okay, I just like that on her. But she looks like a woman. She doesn't look like a man with that shoulder-length hair. But if it gets too short, and you can't make the distinction by just looking at the head, I think maybe that's what it's talking about here. Men, we get our hair long to where it looks like a woman's hair. There's been some men that I've seen that just had hair that women would just die for. all wavy and flowy and thick and everything. And it shouldn't be. A man shouldn't grow it that long to where he would look like a woman. Doth not even nature itself teach you, this is basic information amongst mankind, that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him. And it's a shame, and I believe it's a sin. Sin is shameful. But if the woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. For hair is given her for a covering. It is. So you look like a woman. But it's not the covering that was being talked about earlier, I don't believe. Because if she doesn't have, if her hair is her covering, then what's left to be shorn? See, that's where I have the difficulty in understanding the other position. It doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. It's part of her femininity that the Lord is blessed with, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. We want to deal with that verse real quick, but I want to just read a couple scriptures. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Read quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 32. Here, this chapter is speaking about preaching the Word of God and tongues and the different things that they had there. It seems like there was a bunch of one-upsmanship going on at the church of Corinth. The apostle is dealing with that. And it says here in verse number 32, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." And here's some more clarification. "But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." So the silence is something that's to be, and I believe this applies in the leadership and in the church and the leadership in the services and such as that, because that is the evidence of them being under obedience. Because what, as also saith the law, when you spend some time on that, what's the law say? The law says that a woman is not to participate in any leadership in the religious service of the Lord. That's what the law says. The law says what it says by saying nothing. It speaks by saying nothing. There's some instruction about different sacrifices for a woman to bring. But the instruction is about what the householder, the head of the house is to do, or about what the priest is to do, or about what the high priest is to do. There are sins that it spells out and such as that. But from the standpoint of taking a look at the context of the service of the Lord in the church and that parallel to the service of the Lord in Israel, the law speaks by saying nothing. The woman has no leadership position in the service of the Lord in that public way. It's not a derogatory thing or a demeaning thing. It's just the order that God has made. Okay? First Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. It's talked about modesty and the women and their adornment and such as that. We pick it up here in verse number 12. "But I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man." Okay, that's that submission to the authority, leadership, and the order of the genders that the Lord has established. You know, verse 3 over there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But to be in silence, and here, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and so on about the deception in that. So this commandment is here. The women are to be silent in the church and silent in the leadership of the church. But by virtue of this covering of their heads, they can speak. They can speak loudly and boldly. Ladies, you that believe and are persuaded regarding their head covering and that, no doubt you've maybe had your family or friends or something come to services with you, and they would ask you, "So what you got that hat on your head for?" And you have an opportunity to tell them. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help you. You say, not say, "Well, my husband makes me wear it." No. "Or my pastor makes me wear it." No. Mm-hmm. No, but you can explain. So you can tell about the greatness of God and the way He's made and ordered things. It's an opportunity to be a good witness in that, too. And so, so there's that. A couple more things and they'll close. You know what? Ladies, I love you sisters in the Lord. I'm thankful for you in that. You know what? Putting on a head covering and coming into the worship services of the Lord won't make any deficit in your right. Hear that? I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it slower. Coming to the services and putting on your head covering and coming into the services, it won't make something that's haywire in your life, and haywire is maybe kind of strong, but it won't make it right. The head covering is not chief over other things. And men, we got the same thing going on with us, okay? Not so much with the head covering, but some brethren would take, maybe we have in times past, taken the position, said, well, I give my tithe and I put in a lot. Well, it won't take care of your bad attitude. Amen? Because what you're required of the Lord is what you're required. And what you've been given, that's what you've got to serve the Lord with. So if any of us, men or women, as one brother would say, got a tongue that'd reach out the door and halfway around the building, you know what I mean? A sharp tongue, a wagging tongue, a vengeful tongue or whatever, putting on that head covering and coming into the services, it won't heal you. This is one piece of the pie, and that other part about managing our tongues is another. Or if you got a heart of grief about the drudgery of the service and worship of the Lord, putting on that head covering and coming to services, it won't heal that. It won't make that right. This is a thing unto itself regarding the headship of Christ and the submission to your husband and the leadership of the men in the church. And that's an issue unto itself. What we see, I think sometimes or many times we see in this issue of the head covering is the lack of desire to submit to this or to wear a head covering in the services and that is a symptom of other things. Okay? I'm not saying it's that way in every case, but I've seen it in many cases where it's a symptom of other things. There's more that's at issue than just the head covering itself. I'm not saying it's that way in every case. But I believe that in many of those that I've seen in my life, or several that I've seen in my life, it is the case. Here in verse number 16, but if any man seem to be contentious, fond of strife, a disputer, one that likes to debate, okay? But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. This isn't the brother going on about this thing of the head covering, the headship of Christ, heading towards the Lord's Supper, and telling about this second covering, this first covering of the hair, and the order that should be there in that. He doesn't go through all that and then get at the end and say, okay, what are you going to do? That's not what he's talking about. What it's saying is, I believe what he's saying is, if you want to argue about it, we don't argue about things. We either are challenged to believe them and the Lord's working on us in them, or we believe them. We don't debate about it. We don't settle things by debate, by contention. We believe the Word of God, and that's our practice. That's what we're to do. It's not a thing of letting folks off the hook for what's been said in the previous 15 verses or so. Okay? So, ladies, seek the Lord's face in this. I encourage you to do so. I think there's a great blessing in it. Don't wear it because of me. Don't wear it because of me. Wear it for the sake of your Lord. Again, that remember in all those relationships, there's two parts, right? We get our instruction from the Lord on how we're to be to this other party. And so, ladies, it is the wearing of the head covering is relative to your husband. And understand the purpose of it, the reason for it. Understand that it's not a Baptist distinctive. Catholics wear head coverings too. Muslims wear head coverings too. Okay, so don't think that a head covering makes you a Baptist, because it doesn't. But it is a point of obedience, and there's significance in it. And And when the Lord's church meets, the ministering spirits of the Lord are here in our midst. And the Lord's provided in that. And it's just, I kind of think as an aside, it helps them out with their jealousy and their desire for the Lord and the order that the Lord has made and set for mankind.